Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy, pleased to welcome you to today's edition of All Sides Weekend, where we talk about the arts. Specifically today, we talk about what was best in the arts in Central Ohio in 2013 and what can we look forward to in 2014. And for this discussion, my guests are Zoe Johnstone, who is a musician and philanthropist and who is in charge of the Johnstone Fund for New Music for the Columbus Foundation. Welcome, Zoe. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Sherry Gelden is the director of the Wexner Center for the Arts. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
And Doug Kreidler is the president of the Columbus Foundation. So what we have here with these three are arts and more royalty, at least as far as the state of Ohio is concerned. If any people know what's good, what's trending, what's hot, what's happening, it is these folks. That said, I'm going to turn the show over to all of you, and I'm going to go and do something else. No. Sherry Gelden, let's start with you because you're surrounded with all kinds of different arts projects every day. You couldn't escape from it even if you wanted to. What was going on for you and what did you really notice and look at in 2013 in the arts?
I think overall the arts in 2013 were incredibly vibrant in Columbus, Ohio. There was a spirit of can-do, a spirit of opportunity, whether it was the Columbus Museum of Art groundbreaking on their new wing, whether it was the opening of the Pizzuti Collection, whether it was the arrival on the scene of Edward Lang for Ballet Met or David Dansmeyer for ProMusica. The Harmony Project being awarded the Arts Excellence Award. There was just a sense of incredible vitality and energy, and I like to think that the Wex played a small part in that as well.
I would think, though, and we're going to get there, but did you notice a difference in 2013 from previous years?
I think there's a kind of optimism that is percolating throughout the community, and in part that's thanks to a lot of great work that's being done by the Columbus Foundation, the partnership, the GCAC under Tom Katzenmeyer's leadership, a sense that working together we can all benefit.
That is a good point. We have several new people in positions in the arts in this town. We have Tom Katzenmeyer now in charge of GCAC. Edward Lang is brand new as the artistic director of Ballet Met. David Dansmeyer is at ProMusica. So there's, I think, new blood is kind of helpful. And the Columbus Symphony is on the way to a music director search, so that's mm-hmm. always exciting. Music, Zoe Johnstone, new music is a great love for you. It's something that you and your foundation promote more than probably anybody else. When I say new music, what am I talking about?
Well, for us right now, I mean, the newer, the better, but we're talking about serious and classical music, and we're talking about putting it live in front of an audience, a live audience, and that what we want to have happen is for people to understand that there is so much music after 1920 that we decided we'll go back that far. Stravinsky is kind of our first marker.
It's ugly music. You can't hum to it. You can't sing along. What are you talking about? Discuss.
Well, that's not really true anymore because I think when people get exposed to the early to mid-century, 20th century music, it is more familiar to them than they think. And so one of the things that we've really tried to do now with the things that we're producing ourselves is to create an experience rather than create a concert, create an experience for people. And one of the things that we supported was the first of three free concerts for the Columbus Symphony. And that, you participated in that very well, but that was an experience. That wasn't just a concert. It was an experience. And the audience, which was 60% people we've never seen before, was so excited. I mean, there was a terrific response to that. That's exciting.
Yeah. I was up there for that, and the energy was really, it was different, and it was terrific and very intense.
Unexpected.
So if you weren't there, go next time. And if you were there, go buy tickets. We've already whetted your appetite because this is a good game. Let me ask you, Zoe, particularly for new music, you're promoting stuff that's still wet on the page.
Yes.
With the ink. Is this a good town for that?
Yes,
and
actually,
why?
It is. When we started doing this, we found there is a huge audience that actually has been left out. And we find about 100 new people every month. That's not small. I mean, if you figure out what a subscribership, for instance, is to ProMusica or the Symphony, that's a lot of people. And so they are interested in the energy that comes from something that is newly created. And I think when it's really well performed, that you have to be a convert. You know, so, I mean, we're doing everything we can to encourage the symphony to program more new music. So.
You and your husband, Jack, are also doing a lot to encourage music students to keep on going and to continue, because it's easy at that age, I think, to get discouraged. But they got to call you up on the phone. Doug Kreidler at the Columbus Foundation, formerly the head of CAPA, you're somebody who certainly has a global view of the arts and really anything philanthropic in the world. But what's going on in Columbus? What have you noticed in the last year?
Well, I think in many regards, the highlight was early in the year when the city found a way to stand up for the arts, grant additional money. And so if we think about events in the arts, we have each of us has many specific events and that we can point to that happened on the stages and in galleries and in conservatories across the city. But the fact is that public support for the arts is a place that has been wanting in this community. And the idea that the city would signal early in the year additional support for the arts, and then the mayor at the end of this year signal in his budget additional money for the arts, I think is something that deserves a lot of praise and celebration in and of itself, because that enables the arts, the artists, the arts administrators, to ply their trade and bring all the value that they do to our community.
I think it also tells them that they are valued, that what they do is important to the city and to the local economy. Not forgetting as well PNC Bank, which has been very, very generous with arts programs in Central Ohio. Doug, you were talking about the mayor and new money or more money this year. Why this year, and what was going on in the years leading up to now in terms of community support?
Well, it's been a long process and a very patient group of arts administrators and artists and boards that watched as the city continued to do study after study after study about what was needed and where we ranked. The Columbus Foundation funded a sustainability report that showed where our weaknesses were in funding. And fortunately, that inspired the public leaders to put together a process where they considered funding for the arts, social services, and Experience Columbus, out of which came a clear message that this program's about the arts, so we'll talk about the arts, a clear message that the arts are underfunded, that generally they're outperforming their peers in terms of earned income, which they deserve great kudos for, but that they're underfunded on the endowment side and they're underfunded in the public support side. And so for the city to undertake that process and respond to it with its first small step towards enhancing that support was a significant moment. Now, is it enough? No. You know, we are blessed. And I'm saying this not as an arts leader, but somebody that watches and has been involved with the arts over the years. We are blessed with the leadership that we have in the arts in this community. They are investment grade. So whether it be private or public, you get so much back for investing in the arts and in these leaders and what they can bring back to us in terms of experiences, in terms of distinction for our city, that it's money well spent. And so the Columbus Foundation and the Columbus Partnership, which is a group of business leaders in town, put together a four-step process by which we can enhance and strengthen the arts. And I'm happy to say that each one has been addressed, some of which can be even more significantly funded. But we have a roadmap. We're following the roadmap. And the arts have been very disciplined, very responsible, and, as I say, are richly deserving of the support they get.
Disciplined and responsive, does that tie into your programming, Sherry Gelden?
I like to think we're modestly disciplined, but also a little irreverent along the way as well. But circling back to something that Doug just said, I think there's been a watershed moment in Columbus where the civic and corporate and community leaders recognize that funding for the arts is not subsidy, it's investment. And it's not just investment in the respective arts organizations that receive these funds, but it is investment in the health and vitality of the community. It's a signal to young college graduates that creativity is valued, that pursuit of a career whereby you are a maker, a producer of all things creative matters. And I think that is helping to kind of vitalize a community of young people who you see really throughout this community, startups of one sort or another, pursuit of kind of creative industries. All of this feeds into a much healthier overall ecosystem for the arts.
Let me ask you each to sort of respond to this. Is the audience doing enough? The market doing enough? I mean, you got to put fannies in seats. You got to get money under the wicket. And there's all kinds of great creativity here and lots available. Is the, you know, part of the equation is people have to show up.
Right. That's really one of the things that we are most interested in with our fund. We encourage professional, but yet not profit, small groups, which we have helped fund, to do free concerts. And we sent our publicist, Alex Kelly, to one of them and said, do what she says. And what she told them was stop charging. You're getting 40 people at your concerts. It doesn't matter. Stop charging for your concerts. Make them free. They did. They do their concerts all at the art museum. And they're free. And they get 300 people every time. They do not charge. They make so much more money. So people...
Do they pass the hat or is there a...
Yeah, basically. A chamber pot. But the thing is, they are always getting checks in the mail from people who are so excited to have this kind of an experience, in a cultural experience, in a cultural center in the city. So it works. It only doesn't work for them. It works for everybody. We're doing one at the Short North Stage. We are producing.
But I don't know. I mean, as an old timer, I hear, let it be free, and I get chest pains. I mean,
I know.
I think it's about striking a balance between community service and offering events that are free or significantly discounted, whether for members or for families or on different occasions for the entire community. But at the same time, not undervaluing the arts, suggesting that the only way people will gravitate toward the arts is if it's free. The fact is people are accustomed to paying for their pleasures. And I think that the arts are certainly among those. So when I think back on various events at the Wexner Center over the last year, there are countless opportunities for people to access the galleries for free on Thursday evenings. There are community days, family days, all kinds of lectures that we do throughout the year, oftentimes bringing really stellar people from all fields, whether a Maya Lin or an Isabella Rossellini or a Will Haygood, who we were very pleased to help honor as part of this year-long celebration of the native Columbus Washington Post writer who discovered the butler, but on so many other occasions as well. But the truth of the matter is that the arts are also an economic engine, and that doesn't mean that they are just a driving force. They also need some fuel, and that fuel comes in the form of ticket revenue, but also in the form of contributions of all kinds.
That be you listening. And with that said, we're going to take a 90-second break and come back and continue our discussion. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. Stay tuned. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. Today's All Sides Weekend is talking about the best of the arts in 2013 in Columbus and looking forward. My guests, Sherry Gelden, the director of the Wexner Center, Doug Kreidler is the president of the Columbus Foundation, and Zoe Johnstone is a philanthropist, musician, and her foundation is the Johnstone Fund for New Music at the Columbus Foundation. You don't make it easy, do you, Zoe? Anyway, thank you much for that.
It's new music.
That's
what do you expect?
That's right.
We call it J-Fund.
If you would like to join the conversation, give us a call, 292-8513. That's a 614 number, 292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. And Jerry is on the line and wants to talk about Glenn Miller. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mr. Purdy. Am I the only one in my late wife and her brother and sister-in-law from Germany that saw In the Mood at the Palace on April 15th, 2 hours of beautiful big band music, 17 traveling musicians and 6 singers?
You may be the only one here, Jerry, in the room, but I'm glad you enjoyed it, certainly.
We did. I'll tell you, that big band music, nothing like it. In fact, I was just having dinner with people in ranging in age from their mid-40s to their mid-80s, like yours truly, and we all remembered the beautiful song Moonlight in Vermont. Mm. Lovely song. Billy Butterfield and his orchestra, great trumpet player, and Margaret Whiting singing. Any of you remember that?
Not quite, Jerry, but we're glad you do, and I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much. 292-8513 is the number to call. We've got some calls coming in. We'll have some more. Anybody want to throw out a specific event of the past 12 months that really stuck with you in the arts?
I'll take a stab at
Sherry
that.
Sherry Gelden.
I'm sorry. It's going to be slightly self-serving.
Good.
But when we opened Christian Marclay's exhibition, The Clock, which was a 24-hour film spliced together endless numbers of clips from films throughout history, I have to say not only did it kind of mark a moment, as it were, but that was an example of something that we had literally been chasing for 2 years. So The Clock, which covered 24 hours, represented something like 3 years of my life. And I have to say it was so gratifying to see the response to it, people literally coming to the center 24 hours at a time.
Did
well,
they bring
not
sleeping
quite.
Bags? And,
They didn't bring sleeping bags, surprisingly enough. They certainly could have, but they curled up on those kind of comfy couches and stayed until the wee hours. And I have to say, just as a kind of overall tribute to the magic of film, it was really a stunning work and so magnificently edited, not just visually, but in terms of sound. And this is, you know, a young artist whose work we had shown at the Wex 20 years before. And it's so magnificent to be able to watch the arc of someone's professional career that way and know that maybe the institution played a small part in sort of propelling them forward.
You, by definition, work outside the box, whatever the box is, whatever it happens, or you change the box, or you rebuild the box. But that's one of the things that's so, and really, people hear about the Wexner Center specifically and think, what's it doing in Columbus, Ohio? Which, you know, come learn more about it. You know, this is becoming, that center and the people who made it possible are really catalysts, I think, for making Columbus a destination city for the arts. It's just my opinion.
Wow.
Doug Kreidler, am I right?
As a funder of all the arts, I have to be careful about distinguishing between them. But I would say that the creative work of the Wexner Center has absolutely put Columbus on the world's cultural map. And in recognition of that, the actual award will happen in 2014, it was announced in 2013, the year that we're assembled to talk about, and that is that its director, Sherry Gelden, will be receiving the Governor's Award for the Arts as the top administrator in the arts. So it's a great distinction we have that she plies her trade and brings all that she does to our community. And the Wexner Center is truly a great community asset and a world-renowned community asset.
Congratulations, and that is richly deserved to Sherry Gilden. That'll be in May, I think, when that's presented to you. Yeah. Doug Kreidler, did anything particularly get your attention as a performance or an exhibition in the last 12 months?
Yeah. A couple, so I won't go too deep into any of them. But I think David Dansmeyer's debut as music director in October with an American work juxtaposed with a couple of Viennese works, which is quite appropriate given that he's Viennese and he's now in America, was truly sensational. True to form for Pro Musica, there was new music and old music, and the combination and the performance and the elan that he brings to that orchestra on the podium in the acoustically great Southern Theater was truly wonderful. On a slightly more accessible realm of and more visual realm, Bruce Munro's exhibit, if you will, at the Franklin Park Conservatory, which is still up, is extraordinary. And I think also it's interesting to note the commitment that Franklin Park has made. Some people might not think of them as an arts organization, but they've truly become a creative canvas and a creative campus by featuring great art within the their permanent exhibits, if you will, of living matter. So that was great. And then even recently, Buddy Guy, if any of the listeners are blues fans, Buddy Guy is in his 80s. And I think many people regarded him as well past his prime. And yet he put out a new double CD that's truly extraordinary. And he played up at the McCoy Center in New Albany. And he and his young musician friend on stage, as well as the rest of the band, really blew the roof off. So the only other one, I mean, we could go on and on, but in the popular fare, but an arts group that just continues to expand its footprint and its contributions is Columbus Jazz Orchestra. Yeah. They did a program of Brubeck, Bacharach, and Beyond October of this year. Just did some extraordinary tunes within that concert, and there are many people walking out that I heard say it was their best concert ever. So I hope your first caller enjoys that nod to the big band.
And we're going to ask her right now, and then we'll come back and talk to Zoe. Beth from Clintonville is on the line. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Well, I want to say that there's been some great things, and I love going to the Wexner. I want to also say that as an artist and artists in Clintonville, Linden area, we don't get that much support, and we have a lot of spaces that could be pop-up art spaces. Studio 35 would be a great venue for some more art or artist-related work for film, and I just don't really... we have better parking, better access to parking, and churches would make great venues for chamber music. I've heard wonderful chamber music in churches before. And if somebody could just kind of elaborate on how the arts community, visual as well as music, plan to spread the wealth, so to speak.
Okay.
And I'll listen on the radio.
Thank you so much, Beth. Good questions. Zoe Johnstone wanted to begin addressing this.
Yeah, you said something that is near and dear to our hearts, and that is small venues. We specialize in small venues with the Johnstone Fund, and we are looking for groups, projects, very high quality to present in small venues. It's what we do best, and if it involves new live music, even better. If it involves visual arts, even better. Dance, even better. So all of those things we want to address in small spaces because it's the way we're able to capture the audience for these new experiences. If we can have, 100 to 300 people, space that holds that those numbers. We're very successful at getting an audience. And we don't use paper, by the way. We use strictly social media.
Terrific. That's interesting, because if you have an underserved area that does have a church or some kind of small venue, I would think that people have very few preconceptions, so that they would really be open to something, some kind of the music that your fund offers.
Mm-hmm. Or
so
an
that
experience.
Might be whoever's ever listening in these neighborhoods needs to invite the Johnstown Fund to come out and check out some speech.
Well, contact the Columbus Foundation. I'll get you to us.
Contact the Columbus Foundation. He's sitting right here. Mm-hmm. So, again, I wanted to ask you what really stuck in your heart.
Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the things, is that when we realized how many people have now liked us on Facebook, we sort of know that that what we're doing is working. And because we're small, we aren't an organization, we aren't wealthy, we're just doing what we think is the right thing to do for a part of the arts community. I think our energy all goes to smaller things that are really not on anybody's radar screen. But we know that this feeds the larger arts organizations, because some of your people find us, and our people mm-hmm. now are more disposed and open to find the larger arts organizations.
One thing I have noticed is that the audiences here that are skewing younger are more willing to go out and try
yes.
things that they haven't tried before.
Then we're getting them.
Yeah. Yeah, you are getting them out there. We've got a couple of emails I want to share. One from a music lover who recently heard the Cleveland Orchestra in Severance Hall. A great experience, no empty seats, great acoustics. But just before this, they heard the Columbus Symphony in the Southern Theater for the first time. A smaller orchestra with Mozart's horn concerto was transporting. The acoustics there were phenomenal. The seating was comfortable. The orchestra performance at the Columbus Symphony, tight and excellent. Ticket prices are less than half of Cleveland ditto parking. So that's a big vote for the Columbus Symphony, specifically at the Southern Theater, where mm-hmm. their concerts are being. That's probably the nicest venue around, the Southern Theater. I mean, that's absolutely
it's
beautiful.
It's a great theater size. Great,
thank you for that. That's Deb Kreidler. That's absolutely beautiful. Stephen has emailed us. I really enjoyed the Columbus Jazz Orchestra Swingin' Series this past year. Looking forward to Molly Ringwald joining the CJO in February 2014. That's from Stephen. If you'd like to send us an email, allsides@wosu.org, 614-292-8513, if you'd like to join the conversation by phone. Sherry Gilden, what's getting you pumped for 2014?
Oh, gosh, a lot of things. We will kick off the year in January with what is going to be a center-wide celebration of the contemporary culture of Brazil. We've had a little bit of a kind of a drum roll in that regard over the last year, introducing three remarkable Brazilian filmmakers to the community, along with screening their films. But at the end of January, our exhibition, Cruzamentos, which means crossings of all kinds, contemporary art in Brazil, will open. We are thrilled that the ambassador of Brazil to the United States will be coming for that opening. As you may know, Sao Paulo is the third in OSU's global gateways, the first two being Shanghai and Mumbai. So we like to think that in this particular case, aesthetics and culture have kind of led the way. The gateway in Sao Paulo won't even open officially until the end of the year. The exhibition will include some 36 artists, all of whom have been working pretty much since the 80s, and I think people will be stunned to see what a remarkably vibrant and sophisticated art scene there is. We tend to associate Brazilian culture with sort of Tropicália and the sort of vestiges of the 60s, but it's really been fantastic for our team to be able to be down there and exploring all manner of arts practices.
I want to make the point that the Wexner Center often presents international exhibitions that don't go anywhere else. Isn't that right?
And this particular exhibition is likely not to travel, but it doesn't mean that the film series that we are doing to accompany it won't travel. In fact, it's likely going to Lincoln Center Film Society to Harvard to UCLA and to Berkeley. And then we also have several performing artists coming in from Brazil to sort of complement the entire package. And I think what's really important about reaching out internationally, apart from the fact that we are obviously part of a global community and, you know, what's local is global and what's global is local. But I think it's fantastic when you're sitting in the midst of a university campus to kind of explore and to, in a way, encourage the kind of interchange, cultural understanding. We've been working with multiple faculty members from Ohio State, as well as Patrick Tyrion, the Columbus
Council on World
Affairs. Council on World Affairs. Thank you. Yeah. A little kind of synapse there. And also with the mayor's office and the governor, who are keen for these international relationships to flourish.
And on that note, I want to just take a call from Alan in Clintonville, who wants to talk about the Clintonville Arts Guild. Hello, Alan.
Hi, how are you all?
Good.
Thanks for the program. I wanted to talk about arts being both local and global. The Clintonville Arts Guild had a spectacular holiday sale at the Whetstone Recreation Center.
Good for you, Alan.
Yay!
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And there were like 40 to 50 artists. It was 3 days. There were several hundred people came through each day, and they made an incredible amount of money. So the arts are booming and alive locally. And sort of past plug in, my dear wife has an exhibit up at the Whole World Pizza and Restaurant. We're talking about small local venues. Zoe and Jack, there's one there on North High Street.
Okay. Thank you, Alan, so much. I'm at that pizza place, as you can tell, regularly, and I will certainly look for the exhibition. Thank you so much for your call. 292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation, or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. We are talking about what was great in the arts in 2013 and what will be great next year with Zoe Johnstone, Doug Kreidler, and Sherry Geldin. And we will be right back after a break. Don't go away. Thank you, Amy. We're back talking about the arts with arts royalty, certainly nationally, if not internationally, Doug Kreidler, Sherry Geldin, and Zoe Johnstone. Diane has been waiting patiently on the phone, and I want to get to Diane before. Go ahead, Diane.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk about, I just recently saw the current installation at the Wexner Center, Blues for Smoke, which was so wonderful, and I spent a long time there listening to amazing music and just so many visual things. But most amazingly was sitting and listening to and watching Big Mama Thornton. Oh, what a prize that is. It was wonderful.
I'm sorry I missed that. Thank Diane. Thank you for that call.
Well, you haven't missed it. The exhibition runs until the end of the year, so please come join us.
I'll be there with Big Mama. That's, you know, Daddy. I'm Big Mama. That's great.
It really is a terrific
And
show.
I would be remiss if I didn't note that this is the 25th anniversary year coming up of the Wexner Center. Sherry Geldin has offered the fact that she came here when the center was 4.
And I was 5.
And you were 5. That's right. That's right. Doug Kreidler had something he wanted to share about the continuing arts and et cetera in Central Ohio. So let me give you the floor.
Thank you. I'll just take the mic. Thanks.
Good, dude. Yes. You can lay down if you want.
Well, I just want to, it's somewhat to what we were talking about earlier in the program, and that is the extent to which the arts do not act, operate, or think in isolation. And they are inextricably woven into our community. They more and more are putting their programs together in ways that benefit our social service organizations and those in need. Their education, this is in some ways, not necessarily happy ways. This is the year of education and public education in Columbus. And if you look at what the arts organizations do in terms of contributing to the thinking, the discipline, the creative thinking of our young people and how committed they are to that. And look at the excellent programs that, again, the Wexner Center does, the nationally recognized this year with the National Award programs of the Columbus Museum of Art. And even those serving young people in the schools, like a program that Ballet Met does mm-hmm. called Momentum, that serves fourth grade, primarily inner city kids, there is such an extraordinary amount, an extraordinary size contribution that the arts make across many dimensions of our community. And I think that's to be celebrated. Sometimes we talk about and think about them in isolation and just about what's on stage, but how they leverage what they know and what they believe in to help connect people and bring young people along and open them up to new experiences, new ways of thinking, is truly remarkable and worth commending.
The arts become global, and they become neighborhood as well in themselves. Here's a call from Jenny in Clintonville, and she has a point that I want to follow up on with a question. But first, let's hear from Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Christopher.
Go ahead.
My concern is for the symphony musicians, with the season having been cut back as severely as it has because of the financial difficulties of the symphony. They have to go on unemployment for half of the time because they're not paid, because they're only paid during the time that they're performing. And it's hard to speak about how glowing and wonderful the arts in Columbus are when you've got a whole bunch of really wonderful, talented people who are having a really hard time making it.
Jenny, that's a wonderful point. Let's throw that open to discussion, okay?
I'm going to get off the phone, Chris.
Okay, thanks so much. I wanted to ask you, first of all, where is the Columbus Symphony in the community now in the arts? But, Doug, you wanted to address...
Well, this gives me an opportunity to say something I've said to the printed press a number of times, but it just, for whatever reason, doesn't make it into the slant of the article at any one time, and that is the real heroes of getting to where the symphony is today, that is at least being able to provide us with concerts week in and week out, are the musicians.
That's right.
And they did sacrifice incredibly.
A lot.
And they don't, you know, so often, believe me, I know, there's so many in the business community, and the combination with Kappa was a great move for efficiency and all that. Absolutely. But the unsung heroes that kept the music alive were those who sacrificed, you know, food on their table, clothes on their, or coats on their back, and shoes on their feet, truly. I mean, people don't know to what extent there was sacrifice involved in getting us to a point of still being able to have that entity. And I just want to congratulate, thank, and pay tribute to the musicians that helped this community preserve that asset.
They gave up a huge percentage of benefits and salary. Not benefits is even the wrong word, because it's part of what you work for. What can we do to help them? What can we do to help restore? Where is the symphony in all this? Go ahead.
Zoe. Well, I will talk about one of the things that we're excited about for next year. We already had the first of three happy hours with the symphony, and these are the free concerts. And I think it wasn't really clear what the intention was of this. It's an experiment along the way to choosing a new conductor. The idea was that people would come. We'd have a happy hour. There'd be snacks, no host bar, and a 1-hour concert. And I think maybe I was told they expected maybe 300 people. We had 1,500 to 1,800 people who were beside themselves.
It was a great
audience.
These are
new bodies in the seats. And if we want to support our musicians, we need bodies in seats, because eventually those bodies will pay for tickets. They will, you know, recreate that experience with their financial help.
I have to say that all the performing arts and all of the arts community in Columbus, at least, does everything they can to make it easy to be accessible, to get to
yes.
it. And all of them have wonderful education components, where they're out in the community, they're out in schools, they're out in underserved areas. And this kind of ties into an email I've had from Katie, curious to know what types of relationship these organizations have with local schools helping to develop arts education in K-12, because they're being so much cut back. That's your answer, Katie. Ballet Met, the Columbus Symphony, Pro Musica, the Opera, Wexner Center, certainly Johnstone Foundation, certainly are all out there in the neighborhoods. Often that is unsung, that is talked about.
I would just like to address the fact that in addition to all of the programs that these organizations individually do, and you're absolutely right, sometimes it's us sending our educators into the classrooms. Sometimes we're bringing the classrooms to us. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we're actually subsidizing the buses that bring the kids to the center. But in the last year and a half, five local organizations have come together under the name of Surge Columbus. They include the Columbus Museum of Art, COSI, WOSU, the Wexner Center, and the Columbus Metropolitan Library to specifically address teens, both in after-school programs and various opportunities to provide teens with other avenues for creative expression, whether it has a kind of scientific bent or whether it has a purely arts-oriented bent, whether it's about literacy. Every one of the programs we do at the WEX may use arts as a point of departure, but it's really ultimately about helping the schools meet all of the various standards and tests that they are having to achieve every single year, year in and year out.
You can't be everything to everybody, but the Wexner Center does try. I mean, they certainly do. They do.
Thank you for noticing.
No, they do. But again, when all of these outreach programs go on, and they do, very often the general public doesn't know about them because they're not the target audience for that. I mean, they're going out into for school kids, et cetera. But people need to know, again, all of these organizations have very busy, very active outreach programs. Mm. And, right?
Yeah, and one of the arts organizations that Sherry mentioned earlier on is an outreach program in and of itself. That is what it does, and that is the Harmony Project.
And, talk about that.
Well,
that's one, yeah.
David Brown has hit Columbus.
Hmm. He's a tsunami.
Like it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is.
And a tornado all at once.
Yeah, a beneficial one.
Indeed.
He's doing extraordinary things, and he did the 50th anniversary tribute to the I Have a Dream speech that didn't have anything per se to do with the choir, but showed his talent of seeing what's in the societal winds and giving voice and package and expression and accessibility to that which we care about and want to commemorate. He just finished something called One Family, One Spirit of Columbus. He received a Spirit of Columbus Award from the Columbus Foundation earlier this year. He was inspired to do this, and that film will be coming out soon. But the choir that is devoted, the members of the choir have to devote themselves to service in the community.
Do describe exactly what it is, okay?
I'm sure I'd come up short fully describing it, but basically you cannot be a member of the choir, which is
a big choir, neighborhood choir,
right? Volunteer choir.
People.
Without devoting a certain number of hours to community and neighborhood service. So it's all one big, as I mentioned before, the arts, don't think of the arts in isolation. Mm-hmm. Whether it be the small venues and neighborhoods that were talked about by the callers and Zoe, or something like this that's so consciously about weaving together concern for humanity while uplifting the spirit of humanity, the arts are really a precious, precious asset.
And that's something anybody can join. They welcome everybody to participate. But as you said, you have to commit to doing neighborhood work while you sing in the choir.
Right.
And I'm really thrilled that we are embarking on our second partnership with the Harmony Project. Last year, they opened up our WEX Star benefit, which is the collaboration with the program at OSU on mental health, STAR, stress, trauma, and resilience. Next year, however, they will actually be an integral part of a theater performance that we're bringing here called The Events, which deals with gun violence. And we met with David, and he's absolutely thrilled. Each performance will have 20 to 25 members of the choir, but there will be 8 performances, and so we will cycle through the entire Harmony project.
It took me 3 months to get a date for coffee with David, just so you know, and I've been trying. It was great, but I was exhausted after 15 minutes. It's taken me 2 years to get him on this program. We still haven't done it yet. So, David, if you're listening now, you know, I'm coming after you. Here's an email. Someone else mentioned the Pizzuti Collection. An email has come in very much in support of that. A new contemporary arts venue opened in 2013 with a show of Cuban art from the collection of Ron and Ann Pizzuti. They're recognized as one of the top art collectors worldwide. So, again, we have cutting-edge stuff coming here all the time.
Absolutely. And people who have really devoted decades of their lives creating these collections.
Yeah. And if you think about what Ron's investing right behind that museum a new hotel that'll be a unique kind of hotel for the community, let alone the Short North, that'll provide even greater access. And I think the combination of the museum and the boutique hotel that he's building shows really a fantastic commitment to expanding the sense of aesthetic and quality, artistic quality in this community.
And once you have this high-quality stuff available, people do notice and they take advantage. We have an email from Paul in Grove City who enjoyed Little Theater Off-Broadway's production of White Christmas. Community theater is a jewel. I hope the larger arts community recognizes and supports it. That's from Paul in Grove City. I think there's room for everybody, and I think everybody is doing their best to help everybody else, hopefully. Zoe Johnstone, I want to start in. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure everybody gets in last comments or words or discussions.
I think just from hearing this group of people today, that we really should conclude that art provides energy. Wherever it is, it gives focus, it gives meaning and expression. And I think it's the most important thing that we can support in our community every form.
And when you support new music and you finally get yourself to the concert and you're hearing something you hadn't heard before that you helped support, what grabs you from the performance? What makes you really, from the specific performance?
Well, first of all, everything is very high quality. I mean, you're not going to hear any of these things performed any better anywhere else. That blows us away in the community. We were talking about musicians earlier, and because we have fabulous musicians. So it's that what it is for us, it's the connection of people who have never had that kind of experience before to a superior performance. That gives us goosebumps.
And Sherry Gilden, what is really, again, for 2014, you have a few things going on. What are your expectations as time goes by for the arts in Columbus?
I think it's onward and upward. But circling back to something that Zoe has said and has done so well over decades now, the notion of being part of, being a catalyst, being a kind of champion for the creation of new work is its own reward. I often remind people that even when contemporary art, music, theater, dance may seem a little bit mystifying, it's not familiar, it's not traditional. Nonetheless, every single art movement that's ever happened over thousands of years has been new and unfamiliar in its time. The Impressionists were basically critiqued. They were the salon of refusedniks, right? And that's kind of part and parcel of what it means to sort of live in and believe in your own time. And history will judge, but I think if you look back over time, there have always been people who have been there to support the creative expression of their time. And we are all the more fortunate for their having done so.
And Mozart was once new music. Doug Kreidler, famous last words.
Well, let me give credit where credit is due, and that is this community and its arts scene would not be what it is today without the support of WOSU. The fact that it gives access, gives voice, gives platform to not only shows like this and Ann's show, but also the arts, the local arts, the opportunity to hear the best in classical music, the creative programming you do on TV, The neighborhood programs and so forth. Really an extraordinary asset for our community.
Doug, thank you so much, and thank you all. Sherry Gelden, Doug Kreidler, and Zoe Johnstone, three people among the many making it happen for the arts in Central Ohio. I'm Christopher Purdy. We've been listening to All Sides Weekend. Thank you for joining us.